Hey guys, I'm Alex.
And I'm Drew.
And today on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast, we're covering about five issues on the road to Flashpoint. Let's go.
We haven't been in the same room in a while.
It's been a minute. How are you, my friend?
Good.
Yeah. I wonder if people think that we just don't talk when we get here and set up until we can push play on this.
We've been talking for hours.
Yeah, it's been a minute. It's been a chaotic time for me. I'm okay, but I'm just so busy. And then, like, the snowstorms hit and then other things in life. And it'd be like that sometimes. But we're excited to be back for another episode. Episode 60.
60.
This one felt more surprising than 50 to me, honestly. Yeah, when you told me today, I was like, 60? Wow.
Really? Because, I mean, we had been prepping for 50.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we were like, 50 is going to be mailbag. So we knew it was coming. This one's just kind of like, oh, wow.
Snuck up on us.
60.
Yeah. It's our 60th anniversary.
I mean, how long? We recorded our first issue, first episode. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the beginning, whenever we first started recording, we flipped them a lot. We don't do it as much lately.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we recorded around June, a couple of them.
Yeah.
Either that or we released in June.
Something like that. I think they were
pretty close to each other. Because we recorded like eight.
Yeah.
So that we could drop a bunch of them all at once.
Mm-hmm.
I know that, I mean, we got to be, I feel like, yeah, just the other day, Google Photos will give you like, on this day.
So right.
I feel like 2 years ago, within the last couple weeks, or maybe the last month or so, we had our meeting.
Ah.
Where you called and you're just like, or we were texting and you're like, we should start a podcast.
Yeah.
And then we went and ate at the Matador.
Yes.
And we took a picture out front.
Yeah. Just to, I remember that moment now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was wearing a Superman shirt.
Yeah. Just to mark the occasion of, are we going to do this and will we stick to it?
And I think I meant to text you and be like, hey, anniversary. And then for whatever reason, I just forgot.
Yeah. We're going to get onto our comic book shortly. We're covering some DC stuff. I will say that if you want to pause right now, this is DC. You will not find this on Marvel Unlimited. So,
yeah. It is on DC Universe Infinite.
Yes, that is the DC version of Marvel Unlimited. It's really cool. If you want to add on and follow along, we encourage you to do that.
I've noticed, like this specific one, it jumps through a couple different storylines. And something that... It may exist on Marvel Unlimited, but I haven't found it yet. If you search or if you find the Flashpoint story arc and you click on it, you can just be like, today we're doing the road to Flashpoint, and it's just a couple different Flash books. But once you get to the full story, the full event, like 70 books, you can start with Reverse Flash number one, which is not this one today. That's the next episode. And just hit next. And then it goes to the next book.
Cool. So
and then
like
the next book.
Through the whole
and the
series.
Next book. Yeah. So you don't have to go to Comic Book Herald, which is still a great source.
Right.
Like it just takes you one after the other.
Yeah.
So like it takes the guesswork out of it. You just read comics.
Yeah. I will say that I was, while we were setting up and doing sound checks, I was looking at this app and just the UI. It's really cool. Like they've definitely improved. Like the fact that they're just focused on comics in this app now, and it's not like trying to be several things. Like there's like dynamic media that's like doing a slow pan or a Ken Burns, you know, on some comic panels. They have lots of curation. Obviously, the number of issues you can read has gone up exponentially, and they're getting up issues about as quickly. Well, I think it's still 6 months for them of new issues, but still, there's
still
a lot on there. If you're wanting to check out what DC comics are, we have absolutely been Marvel heavy for the past year. Mm-hmm. Honestly, it just worked out that way. It wasn't intentional, but have we covered anything since Naomi that was DC?
Other than the last episode that we went back to the 60s for Flash of Two Worlds.
Yeah. So other than like recently.
That was just a prep for this anyway.
Yeah. So we're going to try to get back into kind of jumping back and forth and making sure that we're covering both of them because there's so many great characters and stories.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, this might be the first real big event that I've read on DC.
Yeah.
Like I've done a lot more like, all right, I want to read some Wonder Woman. I want to read some Superman. And you just stick to one title. But this is giving me flashbacks to whenever I read Secret Wars.
Right.
Because I, we'll get to it in a second, but like, there's a whole bunch of books. We are not going to cover the full event.
No,
because that would take forever. We are going to cover the road to Flashpoint in this one, which is like 5 issues, starting with Reverse Flash, number 8, which I think is actually just Flash. They just toss Reverse on it. Let me tell you what year it was.
2010?
Yeah, 2010. So we're going there. We're covering like 8, 9, 10, 11, and I think 12.
Mm-hmm.
That takes us to Flashpoint. And within Flashpoint, there are like 70 books, but it's supposed to, I don't know, but where I've read, it's supposed to stand alone pretty well if you just read the literal Flashpoint titles, of which there are 5. So I've read a bunch of the other ones, which I guess I'm jumping ahead talking about what you've been reading, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to.
Yeah.
They're teaching me a lot. But we are basically going to, in this episode, we're covering the road to Flashpoint, which is under that banner on DC Universe. Next episode, we're going to cover the very first one that is in the Flashpoint full order, mm-hmm. which is another Reverse Flash comic, because I read it and I was like, actually, let's talk about this one.
Right.
And then we'll jump to Flashpoint 1. And then the next episode will be 2 and 3, and then 4 and 5.
Right. Yeah. And we'll just work our way through it and cover the Flashpoint. I'm excited. Yeah. Flash is a cool character that I know next to nothing about other than just like the popular stuff. Like,
it's funny.
He's fast. Barry Allen is a thing. Yeah. You know,
it's interesting to do this one. It's kind of the same way for like Secret Wars. Mm-hmm. Once the worlds all collapse together, and I'm like, I'm learning so much about Marvel. And this isn't really the Marvel universes. This is a weird amalgamation of them. And it's kind of the same thing here.
Right.
But I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah.
Hey, Alex, what you been reading, yo?
I've been reading a good amount. I'm still reading, I think I told everybody last week, maybe, about the Miles Morales Spider-Man novel that I'm reading. Really cool. I'm like 10 chapters into that or something like that. But otherwise, I've still been working my way through that 6-month time gap between House of M and Avengers Disassembled. And I'm currently working my way through a Cable Deadpool series, which is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Also moderately inappropriate. Sarah, you're listening right now. You would not like this comic book. But it's good. I'm almost done with that. They're like covering there's like this virus that this religious cult got a hold of, and their argument is that they're so sick and tired of racism and discrimination that they're going to just turn everybody in the world blue.
Mm-hmm.
And they have like a virus to do that. And Deadpool gets paid to go find them and take it. And then Cable learns about it and thinks that he can weaponize it. And there's shenanigans. But also, you know, Cable Deadpool has always been like a longstanding duo. Anyway, I'm almost done with that. There's a few issues left. And then there's still so many to cover. Like, I want so badly. So we're recording this the day before the final episode of WandaVision comes out, and mm-hmm. I started this whole journey to see if I could read House of M
mm-hmm.
before it, but I'm a sucker for like, get me into the details. I want to get all the little winks and references. So just slowly going through Avengers Disassembled, 6 months worth of comics before House of M. I'm not going to make it to House of M before tomorrow night.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen, but been reading that mostly. Kind of a relatively light reading week for me though. I read most of one of these Flash comics. I'm going to lean heavily on you for this one.
That's fine.
To make sure. A lot of this I will be learning with our audience as we go along.
Yep.
And you kind of already told us what you've been reading.
I've been reading Flash.
Yeah. Just diving in.
Everything that we're covering today, which is 2 episodes worth, from Flash / Reverse Flash number 8 from 2010 all the way to the full event leading up to Flashpoint 1 and through Flashpoint 1. I have not read anything beyond.
Mm-hmm.
That comes tonight. So
for sure. Well, do you want to dive right in?
Yeah, let's do it.
So we're looking at Flash from 2010, number 8,
yes.
Correct?
And I don't know if I will remember to give credit to all of the creators across all of these, because there's going to be a bunch of issues today. So let me at least give them for this first one.
Mm-hmm.
Storytellers. I like that they call them storytellers.
Yeah.
Jeff Johns and Scott Collins, it looks like.
Yeah.
Colors, Brian Buccalato.
I would say Buccia, probably. I don't know, maybe. Buccialetto.
letters by Sal Cipriano, and then covers Scott Collins with Michael Atelier, and variant covers Stanley Art Germ.
That's an
interesting name. Lau. Editors Adam Schlegelman or Schlagman and Eddie Berganza.
Yeah.
So we open on the Reverse Flash. We talked about him. No, we didn't.
Nope.
We were that's right. The last episode we did was Flash of Two Worlds from the 60s.
Right.
So the Reverse Flash is confusing.
Yeah,
to me.
Reading this issue.
My introduction to the Flash, and by the way, if you want a 60-second catch-up on the Flash ecosystem, go back to the last episode.
Right.
But you're going to get a pretty decent one here, too. Reverse Flash, the good thing is we get an intro in this book. But the first time I ever saw Reverse Flash was on the TV show, The Flash, the CW show. And I was just like, I remember whenever they introduced themselves, I was like, I'm just like the Flash, but reverse. And from that moment, I've just been like, what?
Right. It doesn't make any sense because he's not just like the Flash, but reverse.
Yeah, because we talked about this. I can't remember if it was on camera or off mic or whatever.
Right.
But there is somebody who's like the Flash, but reverse, who makes everything around him slow down.
Right. Which makes way more sense.
Yeah. So anyway, the Reverse Flash is just a different Flash.
Yeah, he's super fast. Yeah. He looks like... The only thing that's truly reversed about him is his color palette.
Yeah.
Like so, he's all yellow with red lightning bolts and stuff. So
maybe back in the day when he was... I don't know when he was created. Maybe that would be a good trivia question. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't have said that because now we're both going to do it. Yeah. Anyway, maybe back in the day he was... They were just saying, yeah, it's a Flash, but he's reversed. And then they had to come up with more of a backstory.
Right.
And then anyway, so that's what we get into today. I will say we get into the origin story of Reverse Flash, whose name is Eobard Thawne, and he is from the 25th century.
Mm-hmm.
So that we open up and he's just running through town and he's saying, free to change it all. And then they go through. I'm going to be, because we have five books that we're going to try to cover in this one episode,
we're getting the bullet points.
I'm going to be flying fast as Flash. Oh, that felt stupid. So let me just read off my notes real quick here. So Eobard Thawne is from the 25th century where time, I mentioned this actually in the What You've Been Reading Now the other day. Time in the 25th century is very regulated.
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody's on like Uber schedules.
It's almost like a currency.
Yeah. So anyways, he's growing up. He's like obsessed with the Flash and he tries to get a job at the Flash Museum, which is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And but there's things that keep happening to keep him from being able to learn what he wants. And this is where it gets even more confusing to me. And maybe it'll pay off once we get to the end of the Flashpoint story. I really don't know. I'm discovering this with you. But he keeps getting to these times where he wants to learn about certain things, but something gets in his way and takes away some of his time. And then the Reverse Flash shows up. This is, by the way, I'm jumping around. This is Eobard Thawne that I'm talking about.
Yep. We do not see, to my knowledge, Barry Allen in this comic.
No, no. Yeah. Well, I'm saying like... Because Reverse Flash, Eobard Thawne are like the same person. But for the sake of keeping things straight, if I say Eobard Thawne, I'm talking about human being, no fancy normal yellow person. Tights.
Right.
Yet not having Speed Force powers. Okay. Yeah. So Eobard Thawne is a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
And he just wants to learn about, you know, speed and Flash and stuff like that. But the only way he can do that is... if he uses his time properly, and then his parents have a kid,
right?
Have a little brother.
And they kind of pawn him off on.
Yeah. They're like, you have to take care of him now. And then because that slows him down, Reverse Flash shows up and like deletes his brother.
Right.
This is a bit in the future. And just like, cause he's talking about like, yeah, despite my academic achievements, it was deemed that I should have a brother. And they have this like family portrait. And then a few pages later, It shows after Reverse Flash has come and just deleted him, they play a bunch of panels backwards, like it is kind of, erasing him. It's like, my name is Eobard Thawne. I was an only child.
Right.
And he's just been like erased from existence.
Yeah. That's an important theme. Just mm-hmm. I'm going to let him recap it. But essentially, things are stopping Eobard from accomplishing his goal. So himself as Reverse Flash keeps coming back via the Speed Force, I presume.
From the future.
From the future to erase anything that's getting in his way. So you'll read about an event happen. Something will get in his in Eobard's way. Reverse Flash comes, erases that thing, and then we quickly relive it with just the tiny twist of the knob to make sure nothing gets in his way this time.
Yeah, which is, you know, me and time travel.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, dude, this is just the grandmother paradox. Grandfather. I can't remember if it's grandmother, grandfather. Mm-hmm. Just like, so what is he doing to his future timeline that, I mean, he exists somewhere. Maybe it's just an inevitable thing that it's going to happen. He's just trying to get it to happen faster.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, it does contradict the butterfly effect for sure. Mm-hmm. Like, it is not that sort of time travel, at least not in a way that stops him from continuing to come back and interfere with his past and change it. So,
So I'm just going to keep moving. We jump forward a little bit farther, and he's got his job at the Flash Museum. But there's another professor there riding around in a giant hover wheelchair thing. And he basically is about to prevent him. And who shows up again? Reverse Flash. And now Professor Thawne is the professor of the Zoom Museum. Or not the Zoom Museum. I'm putting things together.
The Flash Museum.
But they call him Professor Zoom.
Right.
Which comes in later. And as he's working, he's like, his parents are coming and they're just worried about him, want to talk about him, like, and then his parents. In this case, they don't say he didn't erase them from existence because then he would be erased.
Right.
But Reverse Flash came in and basically made it to where they had died.
Yeah. He said, not even my parents' unfortunate death could stop me from pursuing the secret of the Speed Force. Yeah. I'm just kind of like, oh, they're dead now. And they were literally two panels above that panel.
Yeah.
Guess they're not with us anymore.
Yeah. So then he meets a girl, and he's in love, but she has a boyfriend. And guess what happens? The boyfriend disappears. Then she refuses to love him. Guess what happens? She goes crazy. Like, the Reverse Flash just like shakes her to where she's in an institution somewhere.
Yeah.
And he's just like,
when he says shake her, I'm sure he'll throw the panel up here, but he like violently vibrates a human being until probably her brain broke loose or something, and she loses.
Yeah.
Sanity.
And then just a moment later, a panel pops up and he's like, I never fell in love.
You know?
So it's just like rewriting things. Then somehow a Flash uniform shows up and he's able to study it. It's like from the past.
Yeah. And he even acknowledges that this like kind of came out of nowhere. Like, so suddenly a big bang happened and now I have one of the Flashes, not Reverse Flash, the Flash's uniforms.
And he studies it. He's basically, he learns, he's able to reverse engineer what he needs from it. And he is the Flash of the 25th century. While he's running around saving people, we see in the shadows the Reverse Flash is there, which is him, I guess, in the future.
Right.
It's like, it won't last long. You'll never find love. You'll never be the Flash. Barry Allen destroyed my future. It's time I destroyed his.
Right.
And then that's where it says end, but we have kind of a post-credit scene.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to read this section.
Yep.
So the Reverse Flash does not use the Speed Force. He created his own thing called the Negative Speed Force. They go into it a whole lot in one of the most recent seasons of Flash, if you've watched that. But I'm just going to read some of this. So where was it? I think I can just do it here.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually, you know, Reverse Flash goes back in time and he's like attacking Flash's mom. And Flash breaks Thawne's neck. Soon after, Barry Allen was lost to the Speed Force, saving the universe, but they both returned. As much as Professor Thawne resents Barry Allen for all of his perceived weaknesses as an idol he once looked up to, he cannot erase him from history. Though the Reverse Flash's powers go far beyond speed, they still come from somewhere, and they do. They exist because Barry Allen exists. Without Barry Allen, Professor Thawne's own life would unravel. So basically what you're saying, he can't kill Barry Allen, even not though he hates Barry himself. Allen. And I think I probably should have done some more research to figure out exactly why, but everything I've always seen, like Reverse Flash just hates Barry, period.
Right.
So he wants to kill Barry, but he can't kill Barry because then he can't ever become Reverse Flash because his powers have to be based off of Flash. So
right. They kind of list here. I read this last night, but I somehow missed this last time. It says without the Speed Force, the negative Speed Force would not exist, which kind of at least puts some sort of mathematical twist on it. It's like without positive numbers, you can have negative numbers or, you know, the inverse. Like there's nothing to be the anti of. You can't be the anti of nothing, right? Or I guess you can be something. I don't know. Paradoxes who's a what's and whatnots.
So that one we kind of had to go into a lot. The next few, the next four, I'm going to try to go through a little bit quicker. So Flash number 9. Kind of opens, and there's this guy riding around on a bolt, on a lightning bolt bike. We don't really understand what he's going to. He just says, I need to find Barry. I need to find Barry Allen. And then it cuts to, so like, I didn't say, we're kind of back in the present time.
Right.
What I assume would have been 2010.
Not the 25th century.
Yeah, we are not in the 25th century anymore. Because that was the Reverse Flash comic. This is actual just Flash. So Barry Allen is working CSI with the Central City Police Department. And he gets called to a crime scene where there's been a dead cape, a dead superhero. And it's just this guy in a purple outfit, really old, with a big E on his chest. I had a feeling who this might be. I was kind of right. Then we kind of jump away, and there's a family picnic going on with Iris West Allen, and then Wally West, and then Bart Allen. I was wrong when we were talking about Bart in the last episode. So if you're listening and you're a Flash fanatic, I'm sorry. Bart is actually from the 31st century.
Oh, wow.
And he came back in time so that Flash could teach him how to use the Speed Force. He's like a descendant.
Right.
So I'm sorry, I misspoke last episode. But anyway, the family is around and they're talking like, upset that Barry's not around. Because I guess I should have just gone back to Flash number 1 from this run to see what was happening, but I didn't. But
it's a lot to read.
Yeah, Flash has been distant and they don't understand why. And so anyway, and then we cut back and we find out who the cape was at the crime scene. It was a guy named Elongated Kid who should have been 16 years old.
Ah. And he was an old man.
Yeah, but he died as an old man of seemingly natural causes. So then Barry's working in his lab, and that bike that we saw at the very beginning like zooms by on the window like sideways and shatters it, and Barry chases after him, and he chases him down. And there was a funny thing. Like I read it, and I was like, wow, they've never gone into this in any of the books where he's like, Barry Allen screaming at this bike to pull over. And then finally he catches up and the guy was like, oh, sorry. We were both going faster than the speed of sound, so your screams didn't catch up to me. Which could have been snark, but also makes sense.
Right.
But finally the guy takes his helmet off and he's Barry Allen.
He is Barry Allen.
So he's like, I'm here to save history from the single greatest anomaly to ever threaten reality. And it's just like, comic. Boom, there's the end.
Yeah.
And I think we got to take a break. So I'm going to leave you on that cliffhanger for just a second.
Boom, boom, boom. We'll be right back.
All right. And we're back. And we are going to jump into issue 10. As we were on our break, Alex mentioned that we may have never covered a book that quick.
Yeah,
like
really
we did
quick.
Flash 9, so
I think you did good though. Yeah,
I just tried to hit the high points because this is really just a primer to set you up for Flashpoint. I'm not trying to tell this story, so if you're confused, I'm sorry. Like Alex mentioned earlier, I strongly recommend you checking out DC Universe Infinite.
Yeah, and he'll probably put the panels, at least the relevant ones, up on the screen during that section. So you can also check us out on YouTube if you are listening right now. the visual aid, the visual part of comics are pretty important.
Yeah.
So check it out.
All right. And even though we covered 9 fast, my notes for 10 are even smaller. So
Hey-o.
I might be quicker. So Barry is talking to this guy on the bike, this second Barry.
Mm-hmm.
And we learn that he's from, I can't remember if he says it here, but his name is Hot Pursuit.
He does, yeah.
And he says, oh, yeah, Wally helped me to engineer the Speed Force into this bike to allow me to travel at incredible speeds. And they're like, oh, I see you, you don't need that. And Barry's like, no, it's just in me. But he has this weird, Hot Pursuit has this weird baton thing that seems to like siphon off Speed Force powers.
Yeah.
So they go into it a little bit, but it's not that important yet. So they're trying to get to the bottom. What's the deal with him being Barry Allen? And I guess another thing that this guy brought over is holographic projections. And he was like, I am from a parallel Earth, and they toss this number, the number 52, around a whole lot.
Right.
This was, I think, before the New 52 happened.
Yeah.
Or maybe around the same time. I can't remember when that was. He was like, there are 51 other Earths, but yours is the Keystone Earth. So
all of them essentially react to our Flash.
Yeah. And then Kid Flash shows up, Bart Allen.
That hair, though.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's whenever we find out what I mentioned earlier, that because he's like, wait, I don't understand. You're an anomaly or something. And he's like, oh, I came back from the 31st century so that Barry could teach me.
Right.
And then we jump over after a little while. There's another crime scene, another dead old person, and tire tracks leading from it or to it that look a lot like this bike. And but this time, there's a witness, a young boy. So I jumped through a whole bunch. You're swiping through. Does it look like there's anything I need to cover?
Nope. It ends with a cliffhanger on that issue of we're at a new crime scene. There are tires, and they're like, what do we have? And he's like, this one's different. We have a witness. It's this boy. And then it shows this boy kind of crouching.
I do remember there's one thing I skipped over. A person shows up in the middle of the book, Patty Spivot, former love interest of Barry. I think they introduce her in that book so that she can be useful in the one that we're about to cover. So anyway, that was 10.
Yeah.
Sorry, made it real fast. Like I said, this is just hurrying
through. You can absolutely refer to this episode, episode 60, as the Flash episode. It's all in the vein of the Speedster, the Scarlet Speedster.
The Scarlet Speedster, So.
Number 11?
Number 11.
And here we go.
So the kid won't talk to anybody, but Barry gets the idea. Maybe he'll talk to Patty, because Patty's just this welcoming person. And then we see some scene where she's walking through, and this kid just gets excited and chases after her.
Did we ever find out who the other dead body was? We know it was the elongated
kid. Okay, I don't know that this one was a super person.
I don't recognize his silhouette or anything.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Hot Pursuit is at the scene of another old death.
Just in case
death.
You forgot, Hot Pursuit is future Barry Allen.
Not future Barry Allen. Parallel.
Parallel.
Yeah.
Barry Allen.
Bike riding.
Right.
Barry Allen. And he says, I need to find this time anomaly fast. Like, he is there. The reason he came to Keystone Earth is because he's, I can't remember if I wrote it here. I may have just skipped over it. He is trying to stop the problem. Like, there is a time, what did he call it? There's like a time explosion. That's not what he said. There's something happening that's breaking down time, and he's trying to stop it.
Right.
So then before too long, Barry gets a message, says 911 home, and he runs home, and his family's around there for an intervention. Even Jay Garrick, who we talked about last time, has come over from his Earth to talk. Basically, an intervention over how Barry's just not around like he used to be. Something's weighing down on him. And they're all just kind of talking about how they love him and they want to understand. And then for some reason, Bart just gets angry and zips out of there. I'm sure it made sense and everything. We just saw him a few panels back fighting alongside, or not really fighting, but, talking to Hot Pursuit. And then all of a sudden he's He's being a teenager with angst or whatever.
He's just, kind of doing some quick scanning. He's just mad because Barry hasn't been there.
Yeah.
And
he's just taking it harder than everybody else. So he takes off. Meanwhile, Patty has been able to talk to this kid. And she's talking to him for a little bit. And all of a sudden, this kid's eyes start to glow. And guess what color the lightning is that's coming out of them?
Red.
It's because apparently one of the powers of the negative speed force is that he can de-age and re-age himself.
Interesting.
So that kid that was the witness was the Reverse Flash all along. He's come back in time, and he has re-aged himself, and now he's attacking Patty Spivot, saying, I have some history to unwind.
So that makes me wonder, he was at the crime scene, just de-aged. Did he just de-age real quick and look like a kid?
Yeah. And like he was the one that did it.
He was the one that did it.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. Still weird, though. I still don't understand the Reverse Flash.
Yeah, I'm just kind of like along for the ride, waiting for them to drop the nugget that goes, aha, yeah. I get it now.
I don't know if that'll happen.
Yeah.
So now we're on issue 12.
Number 12.
Yes. All right, so Flash and Hot Pursuit are fighting over Kid Flash. Why did I write that? What's going on with that?
Well, that was right before what you said. Like, Kid Flash runs off, Barry goes after him, Hot Pursuit stops him, and they're like duking it out real quick.
Because,
and then Flash runs and gets in front of him and is like, stop, don't hurt him.
Hot Pursuit thinks that Kid Flash is the anomaly.
Right.
He's there to basically send him back to the 31st century because apparently he has that power.
Right.
And while they're doing that, fighting over him, Hot Pursuit's baton starts to glow, and he was like, oh, wait, I was wrong. And he realizes that Bart's not the problem.
Right.
And his baton basically takes him to the Reverse Flash, who is there with Patty, where he's trying to steal time from her, steal time from their timelines.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of the Flashes bust in. I'm referring to Hot Pursuit is a Flash, even though he's not Flash.
Right.
And then as the Reverse Flash is battling Hot Pursuit, who has that mask on, he realizes he's Barry Allen. And the one thing that this guy's wanted to do for as long as he can remember is kill Barry Allen.
Right.
But he can't because of that paradox, what we were talking about. Flash must exist so that Reverse Flash can exist.
Mm-hmm.
So they go into detail about how much he is going to revel in getting to kill this other Barry Allen that's not going to mess up his timeline.
Right.
It's like, I can't kill.
It's a little sadistic.
Yeah.
It's like, I need to kill a Barry Allen. Yeah.
It's like, I wish this moment would last forever.
Yeah.
And then the Flash, they attack. It's like, what was your plan? What have you been doing? He was like, oh, no. This was just experiments. I was just testing this. You know, your mother was only the beginning, and then it just kind of closes down. Like, did I miss anything before the
I'm
end?
I'm not seeing anything.
Yeah, it's just like, it feels like we needed another issue before we get to Flashpoint, which is kind of the one that we'll cover at the beginning of next episode.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, I don't know. Like, I just thought that it might be important because before this, you may have never heard of the Reverse Flash.
I know more about that character now. I still don't have a lot of why. We have lots of how.
Oh, yeah, me too.
You know?
And I think that's kind of the point of Flashpoint.
Right.
Us, the knowing that something is changing.
Right.
And
because it's a pretty significant event.
Oh, yeah.
And in the DC proper, not just Flash.
They're going to drop you in media res,
right.
Like, so it's one of those things where we're not going to see everything that happens unless you read the tie-ins, which I'll talk about a little bit next episode. It's like if you've watched the Flashpoint cartoon, it's exactly like Flashpoint 1,
Right.
So this is good. If nothing else, this is a good reason to cover this. If you have listened to this and you're like, okay, I want to read some DC. I want to read Flashpoint. I would recommend before the next episode that if you want to read it, because there's a whole lot to pick from, you can read Reverse Flash number 1, the one that comes out in like 2011 or whatever.
Yep.
And then I would recommend going to read Flashpoint 1 so that you can have those big surprise moments.
Right.
Instead of reading the full event up to Flashpoint 1. That way, because otherwise, all of the big like, oh, ooh, ah, something's changed moment that you have those reveals during Flashpoint 1, you've already experienced.
Right.
So
I mean, if you have time to go through and dive in, by all means do it, but it's...
But I would read Flashpoint 1 first.
Right, yeah, just to get the context of like what's actually going on, because it's a lot. Yeah. Especially like, you know, DC books almost intimidate me at this point because I know so much about Marvel that going into DC,
they intimidate me too.
I'm like, man, there's just so much that I don't know that I'm just hoping I get this reference.
Yeah.
But to go back, I need a true Secret War level event. Like, well, what are the closest
tried
possible
a
thing?
Couple times.
Well, I mean, I shouldn't say that. I don't mean that in any sort of critical way. I just don't know what the closest equivalent of Jonathan Hickman's Secret Wars is in DC, to where to get that whole story, you're forced to read just a large variety of very good stories that give you just background for everybody.
I'm feeling like this is kind of that, but except for it's not. Like,
well, yeah,
it's
like
giving
we just
me
went through five issues and we're still kind of
I'm talking about the next ones.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, like there's a whole lot that I'm learning that I didn't know, but it's a parallel universe.
Right.
Sorry, I'm giving something away already.
Well, he mentioned that he was from a parallel
Earth, but so. Anyway, so I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm talking about next episode and we're not there yet.
Yeah.
So basically, my goal with this episode was just to introduce you a little bit about the Flash, Reverse Flash. And know that there's apparently something bad happening bringing somebody from a parallel Earth over because things are about to get messed up.
Yeah. And that's how we get to Flashpoint. I will say you can cheat a little bit if you're not, I mean, we get it. Not everybody is in a position to buy an extra comic book subscription or whatever. They don't want to. Go online and just do some, like spend 15 minutes gurgling some of these characters and like just get a backstory. Like, you'd be surprised what a wiki on somebody can you know, give you just some context. Yep. And that is, in my opinion, some of the most important elements of just reading comics is having context for the characters, because it is a short medium. It's a short format. And especially when you're reading floppies, like week to week, you know, you just don't know what's happening. So it takes a while to develop some interest in these characters. You'll enjoy every story we do if you just have a little more context. So take some time, do some research, and a lot of this will make more sense to you. And as always, if you have questions, you need to hit us up on our social media accounts. What else we got on those? Nada?
Yeah. Like I said, I mean, there's five issues that basically said Reverse Flash hates Flash.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to inflict as much pain and misery onto him as possible.
Yeah, I'd be interested if I can get time to go back and like read all the Flash books leading up to this, like the ones that make sense. Because Geoff Johns is a iconic Jonathan Hickman, you know, Brian Michael Bendis level writer. Mm-hmm. Like, he's big time. And this is a Geoff Johns story. So maybe he also, like, Hickman is notorious for playing slow ball and like giving you details for 24 pages that maybe you don't have an answer to or even know what question to ask. But once you've read 10 issues, suddenly, that makes sense. The seeds have been planted. Cool. Well, we're going to take...
Well, before we do that, we have just a little bit of time. I wondered if we wanted to talk about a few things that came up before we take our break. First off, we had a listening spike just like yesterday.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to, say, hey, if you happen to be the one that was listening and listened to like downloaded like 20 or 30 episodes in Massachusetts yesterday, Thursday, March
3rd.
Wednesday, March 3rd. Wait,
yeah,
Thursday?
It'd be Wednesday, March 3rd.
It said it was on Thursday. Time travel. Anyway,
it was Reverse Flash.
The first week of March, if you happen to be listening from Massachusetts, hey, thanks. Yeah. Reach out to us. Tell us if you enjoyed what you were listening to.
Tell us how you found us.
Yeah.
we tried to avoid Massachusetts at all costs. Don't want to break the timeline.
That's not true.
Just kidding.
So we have one other thing that we need to talk about, and hopefully it's not going to cause everything to go crazy. So last episode, we talked about Desert Island picks.
Mm-hmm.
What is one TV series, entire TV series, that will give you the ability to watch one arc of books that you could find in like an omnibus type mm-hmm. thing, one hardback or one soft paperback, and then just one movie. And our perennial fan, Ryan, new guy, he shot us an email. I think this might be the first email.
First email we've been sent. Yeah.
Hey, two man, Alex's voice cuts through the most, but Drew is calm and relaxing. Take that as you will.
Ah, so wow.
We were just talking in the last episode about how my voice is in a specific range that seems to get drowned out when I'm driving. By the way, I did something to try to fix that recently. I found a little trick. So we're going to try that and see if it helps.
Yeah. If you notice it, tweet at us the hashtag Drew's voice sounds like an angel.
Hashtag Drew's voice sounds like an angel.
Yeah.
I'm going to continue reading Ryan's email. As for the question you actually asked, I had to think, but if I got the rules right, then this would be what I would take by myself for the rest of eternity.
It's a long time on a desert.
So, once again, if you've listened long enough, you know that I'm a bad...
Drew can't read.
Read text, but I'm going to do my best. One of my favorite properties and fandoms is Power Rangers. See, this is something I wasn't even on my radar.
Yeah,
I caught the bug when it premiered as a kid, and it's always stuck by my side. While Soul of the Dragon isn't the single best Ranger story out there, it is quality, and getting to see my childhood hero revisit his life in later years and make the connection with his son is something I could read over and over again. So I'd take this OGN for reading material. Do you know what OGN means?
I don't. Original graphic novel?
Maybe that's what it is. Omnibus graphic novel?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would make more sense.
So I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. There are some like legitimately cool Power Rangers comic books. And I will say some of the coolest variant covers I've ever seen are Power Rangers comic books. And then also, moderately recently, I think within the last couple of years, there's been a crossover of Power Rangers and TMNT.
Oh, wow. My childhood right there.
Where the Turtles, spoiler alert, become the Power Rangers.
Wow.
Yeah. It becomes
mighty
wicked cool. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, cool That's, pick. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And go on. He goes on to say, I don't know how superhero comic centric you wanted this to be, but if I had to pick one series to watch forever, it would be Cowboy Bebop. That's something I've never watched.
I've seen little bits of it. I liked what I saw. I think it works. Mm. Yeah. It's in there.
He says, it's only 26 episodes, but easily the best 26 episodes I can think of. They're infinitely rewatchable as the story of Spike Spiegel and crew unravels to the backdrop of Interstellar Blues.
Yeah.
Love this series, and I could watch it over and over again. Cool.
I think I'm going to watch that again soon. Watch it, because it is, I remember hearing it was short.
Yeah.
Easy watch.
So, picking a single movie to watch is the hardest part to me. I'm not super invested in movies, but I love so many of them that it's hard to decide which ones I don't want to see again. So I'm going to go with Nolan's The Dark Knight because it came out at a perfect time for me. I was a Ledger fan before he personified the Joker. And overall, I think Nolan's trilogy is one of the strongest superhero trilogies to date. I concur.
I also agree. I think he probably heard this, but that was in my top picks last week. Like, I almost picked that. It's that good. I tell you that if we found out Chris Nolan was going to come and do the DC universe, like he was going to be the Kevin Feige of, maybe not Kevin Feige, but a staple, the Russo brothers, if you will, of the DC, I'd be pretty hyped about that. Cool picks, Ryan.
Yeah, I want a vacation on your island too.
Yeah, hopefully you crash land close to us.
Yeah.
Hope you're okay.
He did finish up by saying, love the show, keep up the amazing work. So thank you.
Thanks, Ryan. I think some other listeners are going to be submitting their stuff soon, so we'll probably submit those and read them to you guys as they come to us. But if you have an answer, I think this can be a cool open-ended question, just like Desert Island. Pick a comic book-related movie, comic book-related omnibus or graphic novel run, and comic book-related TV show that you would take with you.
Yeah,
and let us know. We're genuinely curious. And now we're transitioning to our lightning trivia round, where our questions are just plain out faster than the Flash.
Nice.
I mean, what's faster than the Flash?
Nothing.
Not much.
So our questions won't be.
Our questions are faster than Flash today.
Okay.
Yeah. Just today. Injected some Speed Force into them today.
Well, mine's going to be negative Speed Force.
Wow.
Just kidding.
I don't have negative points after this.
Did we do trivia last time? I forgot.
I can't remember.
I didn't listen on the way here.
It seems like, yeah, we did, because I asked you who all the Flashes have been.
Okay. And I asked you.
You got them all right. You're winning 1-0.
I thought that this was a multiple point thing, and I thought you got some. We'll have to go. We'll have to check the tapes later.
We'll have no idea who is winning at the end of this
episode. So maybe we'll try to figure it out between now and the next episode.
You can tell how seriously we take these the point system.
Speak for yourself.
This is a little whose line is it anyway?
Yeah.
The points don't matter.
Oh, they really don't. So do you want to go first, or do you want me to?
You go ahead. We'll probably ask the same question.
I'm going to ask the same question we talked about in the episode.
No! That's cruel. What was the question?
Okay, so I was thinking you were saying no, because that was yours too.
No.
What was the first appearance of Reverse Flash? I'm asking this because I looked it up and I was like, what?
You were like way wrong.
Yeah, it was just unexpected. So you can either give me the number, the year, or both.
The number, like comic issue?
Yes.
Or the year. Mm-hmm. I don't know what. I'll take a stab at both of them though. The year was 2008.
No.
Close. And it was Flash number 112, of course.
That would have been before Flash of Two Worlds. That was a bold prediction. You're actually much, much, much closer with your second guess than with your first guess.
Yeah, because I got it on the second guess?
No. Remember, Flash of Two Worlds was 1, 2, 3, right?
Right.
The first appearance of Eobard Thawne was 139.
Wow.
From 1963.
So
Reverse Flash, I can understand them saying, yeah, he's just reversed, because we're talking in a time when colors, the colors you had to work with on the panel were everything. So yeah, making this guy be just the reverse is probably more of a visual thing.
They didn't think we would take it so literally. And that, like,
Yeah. And then, I guess after the fact, I don't know how much they went into him coming from the future and being all evil and or whatever, but yeah, I just thought that was crazy. I didn't realize Reverse Flash was that old.
Yeah.
No points.
I have a multiple choice question.
Okay.
There's another speedster in comics on the Marvel side of things, known as Quicksilver. Mm-hmm. Flash and Quicksilver have raced several times in a variety of crossover or...
Seems like they would.
...referenced implied racings kind of thing, you know? I'll give you more information after the question without giving an answer. So I need to know, who has won more races?
I don't know. I mean...
It'll be multiple choice, because it could be a tie.
I see. Okay.
I'm just throwing that in there.
Are you giving me multiple choices?
Yeah, it's either you're saying, 1, 2, or 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I just got to go with my boy Flash winning more.
That is correct.
Do you have figures?
I have some here. This is according to CBR, I believe.
Okay.
So believe it or not, the Flash and Quicksilver not only have raced, but they did it several times in the JLA Avengers crossover. They raced against each other. Flash won when he had access to the Speed Force, but he did not whenever he did not have access to the Speed Force. Hmm. So Quicksilver has beaten the Flash, but not when he has a Speed Force.
I can't even think of Flash doing anything without access to the Speed Force. Then he's just Barry.
So isn't the Speed Force relatively new? Did he have it from like the get-go? Like they were like, this is the Speed Force.
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah. I think that came along later. Like he was really fast, and then he got wicked fast. Wicked smack.
Wicked smack, yeah.
But then just to give a more definitive answer, I think there was a Marvel event called Quasar, or it's Quasar number 17. It was like a galactic race to see who the fastest person on Earth was. And Quicksilver lost to a strange person that showed up to the race going by the name of Buried Allen. So it was meant to resemble Barry Allen, and I think that was a Marvel title. So even Marvel kind of was like, okay, the Flash is faster than Quicksilver.
I like that.
Yeah.
Props to Barry. So I looked it up. Mm-hmm. This isn't for points. Do you want to guess when the Speed Force first showed up?
1994. Oh, so it's really new.
Very new.
Yeah.
It says the Speed Force this is just from the, I don't know if we can trust this. Let me click on the DC fandom one. Okay. Speed Force is a, Okay, I would have been better off reading off of the first one. Speed Force made its first appearance in Flash 95 of 1994 as the opening chapter of a six-issue arc titled Terminal Velocity. Oh, well, my goodness. I think I have some of those books.
Really?
Yeah.
They're probably worth something if they introduced the Speed Force.
Just check it out. I'm looking it up. I have this one. I have that book.
Oh, cool.
What is that?
Get a Grip?
91. Yeah.
Look at
that. Oh, God. So I have that book? That's the book that...
The Speed Force?
It says Mark Waid created the Speed Force in 1994 with Flash 91. And this book right here, I'm just going to show you. I have that book somewhere.
Very cool. You have to bring it and get it graded.
Okay. So yeah, 94.
Yeah. That's all I got.
Yeah. Sorry. It felt like a super fast episode.
On purpose. This was all by design. Don't you dare think otherwise. We get it all fast. We're also going to speed up this episode.
Okay.
16 times speed.
16 times.
Yeah. Okay. So you're going to have to slow it down if you want to listen, or just get on our level and be faster.
Yeah. Well, hey, Alex.
Yeah.
Where can they find you?
You can find me on all social media platforms at Alex Wayne Miller. Wayne is W-A-Y-N-E because I am Bruce Wayne. I have it on good authority that Bruce Wayne is faster than the Flash. Where can they find you?
Lies.
On social media.
Lies. you can find me at Drew Morse Comp on Twitter, Drew Morse Composer elsewhere. And I know I gave a plug recently, but I'm going to give another one because yesterday my album released.
Oh, yeah.
So
go check it out. It's cool.
If you want to listen to some electronic stuff and go, you know, support me a little bit, which would also end up supporting the podcast. You can find it on Bandcamp or wherever you stream your music. It's called Cable Theory, Volume 1, V-O-L period 1, by Drew Morris. Or you can go to drewmorrismusic.bandcamp.com if you wanted to purchase it. I've got 7 cassette tapes left. You can also get it digitally. Or you can go to drewmorrismusic.com/electronic-music for a little bit more information. Or just, you know, search Cable Theory Volume 1, Drew Morris, on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, whatever. Cool. Wherever you pay to listen or don't pay. I listened on Spotify for free yesterday.
Nice.
Trying to pay myself 0.000005 cents.
That many zeros?
I don't know.
Wow. I hope you make a big one day, man.
Yeah. Cool. And if you wanted to, we would love you to reach out to us. Send us your Desert Island picks or whatever. At Two Man Comic Book with the number 2 on Twitter, Two Man Comic Book Club, Facebook, Instagram. Shoot us an email like Ryan did, twomancomicbookclub@gmail.com.
Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts
with this and
iTunes.
Said.
That goes a long way. If you leave a 5-star review, we will read it on the show live. And
have we checked to see if we have any recently?
I just checked today. Okay. Yeah, nothing new today. Read it, tell a friend, show this to somebody. We want to spread our content. Make it where I don't have to have a 9-to-5 except for this. That's the goal here, people.
Comic books, 9-to-5.
Get me some money. Just
give
kidding.
Give me some money. And I don't think I can sing any more of that. I think that's the Beatles.
We'll see you guys next time.
See ya.
Bye. Two Man Comic Book Club podcast is hosted by Alex Miller and Drew Morris. Our guy in the chair is Torrance Watkins. Logos and design work are by Tessa Price. Original theme music and compositions are by Drew Morris.
Yeah, the Flash. He's pretty fast.